History of the Holy Roman Empire. The first usurper, Pope Stephen V, or VI, was in a bind. The situation in the empire required the Pope to seek help, but he had deposed the emperor, who alone was able to protect him. He soon found an unlikely ally in Guy, sometimes called Guido III of Spoleto. Spoleto was a major province in central Italy, and it had never been a great supporter of the papacy or Rome. Guy had been deposed by Charles at a former pope's instigation, and his father Lambert had twice entered Rome in defiance of the pope, having imprisoned Pope John VIII a decade earlier. Guy, however, did have the staunch support of the Archbishop of Rheims. Moreover, Guy had recently secured the throne of Italy as king. He had been engaged in a war with Berengar, the previous king of Italy, when he dealt Berengar a decisive blow and secured for himself a major victory in 889. The same year Guy became king of Italy, Pope Stephen V adopted Guy as his son. Despite this, he stalled when it came to offering the imperial crown to him. No doubt Stephen was well aware that Guy was not a true protector of the church or the pope, but for the time being, he would just have to do. By 891, it was obvious that Stephen was right about Guy's allegiance. Guy didn't care for the church, but for the throne. Guy had grown tired of waiting for his adopted father, the pope, to crown him emperor, so he compelled the pope to do it by threats of force. In 991, the empire again had an emperor. Nevertheless, such methods of gaining the crown, particularly while Arnulf remained king in Germany, did nothing to earn him loyal subjects. Although he had been coronated by the pope, all knew that the pope did so under duress. Guy was a usurper, not a true emperor. When Pope Stephen V died, he was succeeded by Pope Formosus. Like his predecessor, he too was forced to crown Guy. This time the coronation was not only to show support for Guy, but to also crown Guy's son Lambert co-emperor. This occurred in 892, only a year from the original coronation. Nevertheless, Formosus was not content to be the emperor's puppet. Even before Guy died, Formosus had spirited legates out of Rome to urge Arnulf to come and reclaim the crown from the usurpers. Arnulf made his first attempt in 894, but he was driven back by superior forces. When Guy died, Lambert ascended the throne, but Formosus again pleaded with Arnulf to come and liberate Italy. This time, with the assistance and backing of Berengar, the old enemy of the Dukes of Spoleto, Arnulf succeeded. Rome was captured in late 895, and Lambert was deposed. In February of 896, Pope Formosus had then crowned Arnulf Emperor of the Holy Roman Empire. It might have seemed the Carolingian dynasty was resurrected from the dead, but alas, Arnulf fell violently ill, suffering paralysis, and returned to Germany. Lambert then seized the opportunity to return to Rome and reclaim the crown. He exacted revenge against Pope Formosus, who was murdered. This murder was not, however, to be the final act of revenge, for 6 months later, Lambert and the new puppet pope, Stephen VI, also known as the Seventh, would enact one of the most despicable and macabre, bizarre acts of vindictiveness in history, and that is the Cadaver Synod. In January of 897, Pope Stephen VI had the body of Formosus exhumed. The body was attired in royal vestments and sat upon the throne, whereupon a mock trial occurred. The dead body was tried on such ludicrous charges as perjury and coveting the papal throne. Nearby, a deacon spoke for the deceased body, doubtless making it far easier to be convicted of perjury. Upon the body's conviction, its two consecrated fingers were cut off and the body was thrown into the Tiber River. It should not go without noticing the Lateran Church was shaken and severely damaged by an earthquake at the very hour that the sham trial occurred. This event has been known as the Cadaver Synod. Lambert finally had a puppet pope. What Lambert did not have was the respect of the people. The earthquake had justly been seen by the people as a sign of God's wrath, and the vile act so enraged the populace that within 7 months a rioting mob of citizens stormed the Lateran Palace and threw Pope Stephen VI in prison, where he was soon found strangled to death. The body of Formosus had been recovered from the Tiber, but it would still find no rest, as it would again be exhumed years later for further humiliation. Over the next years, turbulent forces would vie for power. Within the 14 months, three different popes and one anti-pope would sit on the Lateran, and Lambert's reign would come to an end. Romanus became the first of those popes, but after less than 3 months, the people were angered that he did little to restore Formosus or condemn Stephen. They then forced him to retire to a monastery and elected Theodore II. Theodore II looked as if he would please the people inasmuch as he convened a synod to condemn the cadaver synod. Lamentably, the very month of his accession, Theodore met his death at an early age. We don't know how. One thing is certain, there were many who wanted him dead. No sooner had Theodore II died than a power struggle ensued between the pro-Formosan and anti-Formosan parties. Sergius III represented the anti-Formosan party, but John IX, supported by the people and the Formosans, won out. Sergius III contested the election, declared victory for himself. With the help of his colleagues, Sergius III entered the Lateran and seated himself upon the throne. John IX promptly excommunicated Sergius III, who repaid the favor. Popular support for John IX, duly elected, drove Sergius from the throne, where he proceeded to set himself as anti-pope under the protection in the Spoleto region. Sergius III would remain in the wings of history until 904, when he would usurp the papal crown again with the backing of one of Italy's most notorious vixens. In the meantime, John IX held a council in which Pope Formosa was reinstated and condemned the cadaver synod. The acts of Stephen VI were likewise condemned, and the clergy he had deposed were restored. Finally, the council ratified Lothar I's Constitution Romana, which required imperial emissaries at all papal elections. Although Lambert had been behind the cadaver synod, he knew that his imperial authority rested with the support of the Pope and the people. Moreover, it was Formosus who had crowned Lambert emperor. If Formosus' excommunication was allowed to stand, then all his acts, including Lambert's coronation, would be void. Since he was not an active participant in the cadaver synod, he gave his support to John IX and the new synod. Ironically, the one concession that was made at this synod was that Formosus' coronation of Arnulf was invalidated on the grounds it had been forced by threats of violence. This was contrary to every piece of evidence, including Formosus himself, who maintained the opposite. Lambert had usurped the throne by threats, not Arnulf, who the late pope had sought for deliverance. Nevertheless, the concession secured Lambert's position and cleared him of bad press for his involvement in the cadaver synod. The concession, however, did not appease Lambert's enemies, who were many. There were more than one man who sought the imperial diadem in the late 898. Lambert died in a hunting accident. Most historians call it an assassination, but whoever ordered the assassination is certainly uncertain. So, we've had the cadaver synod, and like I said, we're not done with Formosus yet. They're going to drag him up one more time. And the next time, we'll be looking for a new emperor. Now, the sources for this is Religion and the Holy Roman Empire by Ferguson, Before France and Germany by Gary, The Oxford History of Medieval Europe by Holmes, The Papal Encyclopedia by Bunsen, The Capetian Kings of France, 987 to 1328 by Butler and Adams, French History, Volume 1 by Guizot, Barbarian Invasions by Delbruck, Early Germans by Todd, and The Rise and Fall of the Holy Roman Empire by Criswell. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.